Hello, everybody. Welcome to Elena's presentation here. I just want to say I think everybody's good to go with the mic. I don't think we have any problems with that. So let me just go to the next slide. We're going to have you on mute. And you can, so you'll see the slash through the microphone here. At time of questions, please raise your hand and we'll unmute you so you can ask the questions. But Elena has asked that you please hold all questions until she pauses. She's got a lot of material to go through and she will have a time for questions in her presentation. If at any time you're having problems and you want to ask a question, you can do it down in the little chat box down here. If you don't see the chat box, you'll probably see the word chat, and it'll have a little plus sign. Just click the plus sign, and it will open it up for you. I'll be monitoring the questions and comments. But again, questions and stuff, unless it's a technical question that one of us on the staff can handle, we'll go back to you personally. Otherwise, Elena is going to be going through her presentation. Okay, let me just show one more time. Those of you who were here early got to see it. We found this picture of Disciple CDP, who was Alice DuPont Ortiz. Isn't she a lovely lady? Now let me turn this over to Elena for her presentation.
Okay, hello everybody, and welcome to this rather postponed webinar. And as BL said, you know, I would appreciate if there are any questions, then they would come after I finish, because it would divert the topic to different areas and distract my concentration. So thank you for understanding with this. And as usually, we will start with a short alignment. So please, everybody, make yourself comfortable and concentrate the mind. Focusing the attention in the head. And imagine the light of the soul pouring through the mental body, integrating the personality. Sound the three ohms and imagine the white golden light illuminating the mental body. Purifying the astral body. And strengthening the etheric body. Om. visualize the threefold personality as being unified with a white light. Personality soul fusion. See the lower triangle representing the personality with the mental body at the apex and the physical and astral bodies at the base of the triangle. The apex of the triangle is pointing upwards. Above the lower triangle, see the brightly lit higher triangle, representing the soul with its apex pointing downwards. By an act of the will, see these two triangles merging together and forming a six-pointed star. See the six-pointed star as a shining sun, presenting the soul-infused personality, and sound the silent Om to confirm this fusion. Group alignment. Visualize a sphere of pure white light and the group members as a miniature shining suns inside and around the sphere. See a sphere of light linking the heart centers of all the group members. A sphere of light linking the head centers. And a sphere of light linking the Ajna centers of all the group members. Imagine the light rapidly circulating through these three spheres and aligning the three group centers, Ajna, heart, and head, into one mind, one soul, and one will. To confirm the group alignment, we sound the Om as a group. Om. Thank you. I will put up for the moment this symbol, this picture, nice picture, from Nicholas Roerich, Song of Shambhala. And what I am planning to do is to deal with the last couple of sentences in the first instruction, which hopefully I can find in my just a moment. I have a little bit patience with me because I'm not very good at these things. Okay, do you see this on the screen now?
Yes, we see your notes. Sani, okay. Awesome.
Okay. So these couple of sentences, be the sannyasin for the remainder of your life and in detachment seek to serve the plan. Ponder on this last sentence because for you it holds the secret of release. This is the last passage of the first instruction, which is in Dina 1, page 505. I have added to it one sentence, which is later on in the instructions in Dina 1, page 516, where DK is saying to her, to the disciple CDP, but you could help more definitely and consciously if you could free yourself from ties and begin to function in your home and in all your relationships as a true sannyasin. So, what do we understand by the word sannyasin? DK tells us it is the teaching disciple who dedicates his life to spiritual values and teaches them to others, who is detached from the personalities of others, even though serving them, but always living in the consciousness of the soul, who is the true sannyasin. Now we are told that spiritual values hold the seeds of immortality. And everything that is of spiritual value is persistent, ageless, immortal, and eternal. Now, this detachment from personalities represented a major test for CDP, who saw and responded to others, particularly those she loved, as personalities, not as souls. Now, sannyasin stands in walks alone, which is very Saturnian energy, being free from attachments, freedom, you know, is very Uranian energy. So it is this inner detachment which is the outstanding characteristic of sannyasin. When we're talking about inner detachment, we're talking about the subjective soul detachment. His whole inner life becomes that of a plant withdrawing, which is a Piscean energy, which is different from the process of detachment, which is primarily applied to the emotional or astral nature. And we can apply more the Uranian or fifth ray energy to that process of detachment. So this inner withdrawing from the physical plane attachments is a mental activity. It is an attitude of mind which affects primarily the whole attitude of the personality towards life. So it involves not only the detachment of the desire nature from that which is desired and accumulated from long habit, moon energy, but it also involves a complete readjustment of the entire personality to the world of souls or the fifth kingdom. The disciples' attitude to life is altered or adjusted. These are the energy which comes from Chiron, and its relation to Virgo through its healing and adjusting processes. And there is a gradual and planned withdrawal, Pisces 12th house, from physical plane attachments. So what we are really dealing with is the personality in its three lower vehicles, physical, astral, and mental, where the mind, as the highest aspect of the personality, is the controlling factor, which alters the entire attitude of the personality towards life and initiating the gradual process of withdrawal from all the physical plane attachments. The disciple remains where he is and continue with his outer fulfillment of duty, which is the Dharma point MC or the 10th house cusp in the chart. But we sin a great change and a definite reorientation takes place. And when we're going with sin, we're going to the level of the soul in relation to the ascendant in the chart, which is related to the soul's purpose. Thus, the stage and life of the sannyasin is closely related to Dharma and to soul's purpose, thus the ascendant and MC involvement. That is why the inner detachment is the outstanding characteristic of the sannyasin, which is involving the illumined mind under the control of the soul. We are on the higher levels of the mental plane. And it also involving the brain in relation to the physical plane. So with the growth of this inner detachment, a deeper love and a deepened esoteric expression of that love should be developed. Thus, you know, we are actually dealing with the alignment between the soul, mind, brain, which must be functioning, and as the sannyasin detaches himself from the lower self or personality and attaches to the higher self and leaves behind all what is hindering his service. That is why for CDP becoming sannyasin and the growth of detachment from her personality love for her family, children, would bring into expression the deep love of her soul upon the physical plane, and her reactions to those she loved would be directed by this soul love, and she would relate to them as souls, not as personalities. And this would liberate her for greater service, and at the same time, it would release those she loves for further progress, because she was holding them by her clinging love. Without really realizing it. So she had to work towards an increasing release from ties of any kind, but not from release from her spiritual responsibility. We have a Saturn coming in with that energy, which would carry with it releasing power to those she loved. And this would require an inner attitude of giving complete control to the will of her soul. So the sannyasin is in the world fulfilling his duty, dharma, but not of the world. He's dwelling in the light of the soul. So the stage of sannyasin is representing the very stage of the dual life of a disciple, which is a stage which all of us have to go through, and it's very difficult to actually put it into practice. It's a very demanding process to live in the both world simultaneously. Now, there were in Master DK's group certain disciples who were called to the life of the sannyasin, but actually only three of them have achieved it. And these three were BSW, WDB, and LFU. And if you are interested, you find them through the Dyna books. And whenever DK was talking to them about the sannyasin, the planet Chiron was very active astrologically. It was actually my first experience working with Chiron in a practical way when I started to work with the disciples, where not many and not much is known about this planet, how it works astrologically. Another thing is that there has to be also a signature of the sannyasin in the natal chart present, we need to be born with it, that in one particular life, we are also called to be a sannyasin. And we need to know what is that signature of the sannyasin. Because it is good to know about sannyasin, but then, you know, what we should be looking for in that. Now, related to the stage of sannyasin is the 50-year cycle of Chiron. And the clue to this is given by DK when he said to the disciple FCD in Dina 1, page 138. He said, the time you have reached the age of 50 years, you should have achieved the difficult undertaking of becoming the sannyasin in the West world. Now, in his chart at the age of 50, Chiron was making his return to its own place. And was making the opposition to his progressed vertex, which is a point in the chart related to unavoidable fate. And both Chiron and Vertex were in aspect to the natal and progressed Neptune, the most important planet for him, being the esoteric ruler of his Cancer ascendant and his Pisces midheaven, which is Dharma. And also aspect to his progressed full moon. Now these are very significant connection. And so they represent some of the signatures for the sannyasin. Vertex, Chiron, Piscean energy, which are a part of the energies as a signature of sannyasin in relation to the Dharma. Now, what is Chiron? How do we understand Chiron astrologically and in relation particularly to the stage of sannyasin? Chiron represents both the wound and the healer. He is called the wounded healer. He is the wise guide and mentor who tells us where to go and how to find and follow our own way, because he found his own way and work on it through self-application and self-development. At Chiron return, we deal with a deeper healing way and understanding with our wounds. Because at that stage, we should have acquired experience how to deal with something which we were afraid to do, or which we avoided, or were not even conscious of. That is why Chiron's 50-year cycle is also related to the second initiation. And so Chiron really reveals itself after the second initiation, which is related to the stage of sannyasin. By then, we have built the first part of the Antakarana, and we begin to consciously utilize the will and start to consciously build the second part of the Antakarana from the soul-infused personality, not complete at that stage, to the spiritual triad. So the second initiation is significant from number of points, and this is just one of them. That's why it is the most difficult one to take. So Chiron is an expert because he has gone through many experiences. He has suffered and has found a way, and in finding the way, he had to develop many skills in arts, in sciences, and through the pain of experience, he gained knowledge and wisdom. So he speaks with authority of a master. He is the sage, the wise one. So whenever Chiron is placed in our chart, that is a place where the master speaks for us through Chiron. Now we know that there is a space between Saturn and Uranus, and Chiron takes us across this space. He is an esoteric bridge builder. He is our guide in building the bridge or Antakarana, and heals the division between our lower and higher self. That's why we can say that the Saturn represents the lower self or personality, and Uranus the higher self or soul. Chiron is independent and free, which is the Uranian energy. And like the soul, it doesn't stay at home. He has no real home, Sannyasin. And so Chiron is related to Dharma, MC, and Karma, Saturn. Now at this point, I would like to put on the screen, hopefully I can find it easily, a chart. Okay. And I would point certain things as we go along, that, you know, when we talk Chiron in relation to Karma, I would like you for you to focus on this conjunction here from two progressed planets, Saturn, solar arc progression, 28 degrees 16 Aries, and progressed Chiron at 28 Aries 51. Okay. Now this is at a time when DK is speaking to CDP of her becoming a sannyasin. Okay. Now, where in the chart Chiron is found, there would be some vulnerability, and there we are wounded, and we need to deal with it and find a way how to correct and adjust or heal it. There would be also an indication where and how we can become guides, healers, and advisors, helpers. Now I will put, better if I put the natal chart of CDP. Which is here, we find Chiron at 25 Aries 37 together with the Sun in Aries 21 Aries 05, and Chiron is actually conjuncting the Sun and also conjuncting the Neptune at 2 degree Taurus 17. This is the most significant signature of Sannyasin in the CDP chart. Now, the Sun represents the personality which, as we are discussing, that the personality, the whole attitude of the personality has to be adjusted. The adjusting energy is Chiron, and Sun represents the personality. And Sannyasin is related to Dharma, and Chiron conjuncting the Neptune, the most important planet for CDP, because it's the esoteric ruler of her Cancer ascendant, related to the soul purpose, and it's also the ruler of her Dharma, Pisces. What's more, that on her Dharma point, it's a Cancer decanate of Pisces. That was very significant rectification point for me. Excuse me, I don't know why this is coming on.
Click the bottom one.
Okay. Now, Chiron conjunct the Sun indicates the wound of identity. Sun rules Leo on three levels of identity, which is personality, soul, and monad. How to rightly express personality and soul? As for her, the two most important levels of identity. It also represents inferiority complex, where the personality does not emerge in its power of integration or confidence. So there is a weakness in personality integration indicated here, which we will deal actually in the second instruction. And there is also weakness in the vitality, which the Sun represents in relation to Leo and the heart center. And so the devitalized etheric body is indicated here, Sun being one of the signatures of the etheric body. And we have already dealt with the devitalization of her etheric body in a previous webinars. Now the Chiron conjunction to her Neptune in the relation to her soul purpose with the ascendant and the Dharma and Sannyasin. Chiron provides the healing power and guidance for her, how to achieve the fulfillment and redemption of karma. Neptune is also making aspect by sextile to Saturn in Pisces, close to the Dharma, representing karma. And face everything she has accumulated in the past lives and bring this cycle to the end. Saturn in Pisces. Karmic redemption in the last sign, end of cycle. It's very important placement in relation to many things, this Saturn in Pisces, but also in relation to becoming sannyasin. And Saturn makes trine aspect to the ascendant, which is the soul purpose. And Neptune is also making sextile to that ascendant, which actually it's ruler, esoteric ruler. So and the moon, which is in Scorpio, is also the ruler of the ascendant, Cancer ascendant, and is also the ruler of the Cancer decanate of Pisces at the Dharma point. And moon is placed in the Piscean decanate of Scorpio. And it making a trine to the Cancer decanate of Pisces on the Dharma point. So we see this very important relationship of the significant energies in relation to the stage of sannyasin and Dharma. So far what we are finding that the astrological energies indicating the sannyasin are predominantly Chiron, Vertex, Scorpio, Capricorn. We have the signature of Capricorn through Saturn, through the 10th house, which is representing Capricorn, and a very important placement of planet Mars in Capricorn decanate of Taurus at critical degree, squaring Saturn, ruler of that Capricorn decanate. So, you know, that's why you see, don't expect to find everything clear, like looking what is in Capricorn. There is nothing in Capricorn, but hey, she has a powerful Capricorn energy. We need to all only find it. The IC, the ashramic point in opposition to Dharma, is in Capricorn decanate of Virgo, where Moon is the esoteric ruler in relation to the Cancer decanate of Pisces of Dharma and the ascendant. So, Scorpio, Capricorn, Pisces, particularly if involved with the Sun and Moon and with the MC and ascendant and their rulers. This would involve automatically also the houses 8, 10 and 12 with its rulerships. So, from all these energies related to the sannyasin, we see the fundamental relationship to Dharma, duty, obligation, responsibility, and karma. And karma and responsibility are closely linked together through Saturn. And whenever Saturn, wherever Saturn is found in the chart, we must work hard with discipline. And that is also where our master is. So not only Chiron is a signature also of a master and Sannyasin, but so is Saturn. And we know that the first master is our own soul. And we find it through meditation and service. Saturn destroys all the blockages which standing in the way of free expression of the soul. That is why Saturn also represents the responsibility, duty, and obligation, which are all the aspects of Dharma. Now, in the chart of CDP, Saturn is in Pisces. It is in a little bit wide conjunction to the MC, but I am still in a process of fine-tuning the rectification of that point. So this I take as a definite relationship and conjunction to that Dharma. It is placed in the ninth house of the higher mind, that's involving the meditative axis from the 3 to 9 houses of building of the Antakarana. And Saturn is a mental energy and can rule both the lower and higher mind. And the higher mind represents the lowest aspect of the spiritual triad and is the highest aspect of the soul. Thus, Saturn placement in here indicates that she was in the process of building the first part of the Antakarana in relation to the stage of the path where she was, which was the early stages of the path of discipleship, being a pledged disciple prior to entering the path of accepted discipleship. Thus, Saturn represented for her soul as her master, and it was her karmic responsibility to work upon the physical plane as the soul, to serve the plan in relation to the ninth house where we plan on the path for the future. And the hierarchy represented by the Dharma 10 house point. And also it represents the Dharma or karmic obligation for her to become a sannyasin in all the relationship which we are considering, even to relation to Saturn as the most important planet in relation to Dharma and Karma. Now, we all discuss Dharma, 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 but what do we really understand when we talk about Dharma? DK says that Dharma means duty or obligation. We are told that Dharma means literally the proper working out of one's obligations or karma in the place and environment where we are put by our fate. So we have a relationship in this one sentence between Dharma, duty, obligation, karma, and fate. Now the point of fate in the chart is represented by the vertex, which I have already mentioned it. And vertex for CDP is placed in the 21 degree of Scorpio 56 in the fifth house, close to the moon, in a white conjunction there. It is interesting that it is in a fifth house, which among many other things is related to children, which was a major issue of needing to learn emotional detachment from those she was clinging to emotionally. So the point of fate or vertex, it's the will from above, the prime vertical is going from MC, from the zenith to nadir in relation to the individual. So the will which is coming from above and cannot be avoided. Facing the inevitable and dealing with that which we have not faced or evaded. Like in her case, she has not dealt with a number of issues in relation to her karma and to her dharma. And so vertex has to be considered together with the MC, the ascendant, and Saturn, and Kali. And all the planets which are ruling these points. And so all these points are another signatures considering when we considering the stage of sannyasin and dharma. So the vertex, when we're looking at it, is making 150 degree aspect, which we call the quincunx, to the sun. Almost exact. 21 degree, 21 degree. And we have already discussed the sun in relation to Chiron and Neptune in that triple conjunction. And in relation to the personality and in relation to the sannyasin in changing the attitude of the personality to the life. Unavoidable fate for her, which she has to deal with in this life. Now the vertex, interestingly enough, is placed in the Cancer decanate of Scorpio, which automatically brings in relation the moon itself, in relation to the moon Pisces decanate and Cancer ascendant. And the vertex is in opposition to Pluto at 22 degree Taurus, which is the soul or esoteric ruler of the Pisces Dharma. And it is also the ruler of Scorpio. So, we have again a linking energies between the rulers of Ascendant, MC, through the Moon, Pluto, and Vertex. This indicates that she had to face in that incarnation the inevitable issue of her emotional attachment to her family and children, and becoming sannyasin was part of her dharma and karma and fate, which would enable her to develop the needed detachment and release herself to greater service. Coming back to that Saturn as the planet of karma, and dharma is aspect of karma, duty and karma are linked in relation to her duty of financial responsibility also to her family, and family is under the influence of Cancer, which we are seeing in so many places in this chart, which has to be shifted up to the, instead of her responsibility and service actually to her family, into the service of humanity, which that Cancer energy is also represented on a higher level. So it represents a very important test, Saturn square that Mars, and Mars is the ruler of Scorpio, which is related to the test of discipleship. And this aspect between Mars and Saturn is also related to detachment, particularly to her emotional energies through that Mars. And desire, Taurus, where it is placed. Saturn rules 7th house and 8th house. 8th house is the Scorpio house. As I said, we need to find Scorpio, and it has a plenty of Scorpio by the placement of the Moon and Vertex in Scorpio, and Saturn ruling the Scorpio house, Capricorn, on the 8th cusp. And her relationship to others, which is so much involved in this process of her being the sannyasin, is also ruled Saturn. And the Mars is the dispositor of all the energies of the Scorpio. So this is a very important square between that Mars and Saturn. And I am only pointing a certain astrological energies which are, as I am following the process of the sannyasin. So we see that he was put by her soul, through a conscious choice in that environment, by an unavoidable fate, to deal with her dharma or duty and face that which she has evaded or not succeeded to put right in past lives. You know, we have a powerful Piscean house. Don't forget about that. Mars conjunct Venus in the 12th house. Venus represents many things. In this case, represents the soul, and it rules esoterically the 12th house, the Piscean house. Okay? Now, I will change this to this. And for us to see what is showing in a way of transits and progressions in the chart, while DK is mentioning sannyasin and dharma. Don't forget that the first instruction, the gap between the first and second instruction was 2 years. The first instruction was in November 1931, and the next one was in June 1933. So all the astrology we can look is through this process. It is not only through this years where we should look for the signatures of sannyasin, but as I have introduced the one another sentence where he is reminding her about becoming sannyasin because she did not do anything about it, that it is a permanent feature in her life because she came into that incarnation to actually become sannyasin. So, if we go, it's a little bit difficult for me to actually find this because it's covered, but I hope I can find it. In April, I think I am in April 1932, the transiting Chiron, it's at 21 degree Taurus. It's activating the natal sun vertex at 21 degrees, quincunx aspect, which we have already discussed. It means the point of fate and the personality point of that sun in relation now to Chiron, in relation to the sannyasin, fated and unavoidable work with personality, asking for adjustment in her personality attitude to life and gradual withdrawal from all physical plane attachments into the inner detachment of sannyasin, as the Chiron transit will start to move into the 12th house, the Piscean house of withdrawal. And look the powerful progressions going through that 12th house with the Sun, Mercury, Neptune, Chiron. It's a very powerful indication, you know, where this energy should be working out on a subjective level, on the inner, on the plane of the soul, on its own plane. Now, I have jumped a little bit with that Chiron there, just trying to show you that the Chiron was moving actually to that 12th house. Now, this transit is supported by the solar arc moon . You see it here semi-square the natal vertex . Moon ruler of all the Cancer energies in relation to the point of fate in the fifth house. And the entry of the progressed moon, it's coming into the sixth house, which is the Virgo house, where Chiron relationship to Virgo is through its adjusting, correcting energies. The progressed Mars in the sixth degree of Cancer is making aspect to the solar arc moon, and the Dharma point is involved with this aspect as the progressions are moving from months to months further to actually reach that seven. Okay, you see this relationship, Dharma progressed 7 degree Taurus, Mars progressed 7 degree Cancer, and Moon solar arc at 7 degree Capricorn. And the progressed Moon 7 degree Sagittarius. Now, I am really so surprised myself that how very closely rectified correctly this time of her birth is becoming, because the MC and Ascendant and Midheaven are the most important point in rectification of the time of birth. And to find this alignment in such a perfect relationship of degrees together between the most important planets is just amazing. And look where's the progress Saturn, 7 degree Pisces, 7 degree Dharma progressed, Mars, so the Mars in the first house being in its own house, which is the Aries house, is initiating process here also. Towards all these processes of transformation and adjusting of the personality, of the Dharma, and involving you know, all these energies of the Mars, Moon, Vertex, Sun, Chiron. Because when we have an aspect between Mars and Moon, they also represent the lunar lords, which are the our lower vehicles of the personality. And Mars, with its placement in Cancer, putting a very powerful focus on the emotional nature, and with its in its first house, Aries, very impulsive. So it's very, very difficult to control this Mars in relation to the Moon, which also emphasize Moon in Sagittarius, also emphasize emotional, emotional nature. So it would be very difficult to utilize these energies constructively for her.
5-minute warning.
Thank you. Well, I think I am in a 1/4 of my material. Anyway, we will go as far as we are able to go, and we would have to continue with it in the next webinar. This is, you see, a very important subject, because it is not much known about Sannyasin, Chiron, Vertex, Fate, Dharma, and all the division of the Dharma in relation to the different stages of the path. Which even for myself, I have actually never looked at those four divisions of Dharma until I worked on preparation of this webinar. So it is important that I said to myself, it is good to go a little bit into more detail about this, also astrologically. And I'm sure among this audience, there are some people who don't understand much of astrology. And for them, it must be a little bit difficult to follow all this. But it is very important that we see how what DK says and what we understand by Dharma and Sannyasin and all these points, what is actually happening to them also, not only in the natal chart, but also through the progressions. And so I will mention only only one more point, and that is the transiting Uranus at 20 degrees, going through also over the Sun through the 21 degree. And the vertex, 21 degree, okay, making a square to Pluto. It's the same square which is in heaven also for us today, where Uranus is in the same sign, Aries, but Pluto is in Cancer here. And this square activates again the Sun in Aries together with that vertex, a point of fate, and Aries is a mental plane, and the Sun is in a third decanate of Aries, which is related to the mental body. That's why this aspect is very related to the will here. She has to utilize the will of the soul in order to deal with this energy of transformation of the personality and changing the attitude, the mental attitude of that personality. Because the Sun also rules the third house, which is the mental energy, Leo, ruling the third house, okay? And the progressed Sun is Gemini, which is Gemini house, third house, and it's in the 12th house on a subjective area of the utilization of the energy. And Uranus being by progression in that third house is ruling the ninth house, which is the higher mind. So it brings the lower and higher mind again into relationship here. And so it is the mental energy particularly which is involved with this transiting square between Pluto and Uranus in relation, you know, also to the vertex and Sun aspect, which we have already talked about. And I will end there because I would have to follow something else there, and I don't want to start on some new idea. So thank you for your attention with this rather more involved astrological discussion, but I think it was necessary to bring up these points. BL, you can take over.
Okay, you have a comment here from Isabel. She said that she did have mediumistic inclination, Moon, Scorpio, Cancer, Pisces, which she transmuted into mediating faculty, building the Antikarana to transmit the spiritual will down on the personal level. She must have been a fascinating lady. So,
yes.
I'm sorry. Raise your hand, Isabel, if you would like me to unmute you so you can say more. Okay, no. All right.
I just want to make a small comment towards that a Pisces-Cancer combination are very psychic energies. And CDP herself spent many hours on the astral plane. And DK was reminding her, you know, not to make too many visits there and to stay on the mental plane where she was needed to do some work, him and the hierarchy. So she did have that a powerful psychic nature in the line of astral Buddhic line.
Any other questions or comments? I don't see any hands. I don't see any more.
Well, all these need to be digested. You know, I am sure for many it's a new approach. New information about many points I have mentioned, so it's okay if there are no questions.
Jeff has a comment. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yes, thank you, Elena. That's fabulous. I just had a number of thoughts, and that was, did you do any progressions for CDP when she entered the Master's group? Did you see the configuration of planets at that time in terms of progressions and transits?
Well, when we were doing the first instruction is, you know, we are still working on it.
Yeah.
And that is the only date I can take, you know, 1931, where DK, actually, this was the earliest time when he started to send the instructions.
Okay.
As you know, some of the disciples entered the group in later on, few years after, you know, 1936, sure. Even 1937, but she received the instruction among the first, you see?
Mm, yeah.
So, in the previous webinars, when I started with the first instruction, you know, that was, we were looking at the chart around that okay. time.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I missed that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll look that up on the file.
Yeah. Look. Nice to see you, Jeff, here.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I can't always get here, you know, but...
yeah, I know. That's why it's good to see you here.
On a Sunday, it's just excellent, you know.
Yeah.
Mm. The other thing that's interesting is how this all comes about in terms of the soul's decision when entering incarnation. You know, at that particular time, to have this magical formula in place, you know?
Yes, isn't it? You know, especially when you see this powerful connection from yeah. so many points to the most important planets which we actually considering in relation, like now, to the Dharma and the Sannyasin. But you see, she has been working with these energies for at least three lives. And she, even in this life, the fourth life, she did not fulfill that what her soul and actually herself decided on purpose, you know, having the powerful sixth ray influence for the past three lives, and yes. choosing it on three levels in this life was very purposeful, you see. That's why, you know, the sixth ray coming through Neptune, Mars, Pisces, you know, it's not by accident.
Yeah.
And ruling the personality. So it is really a free choice, you know. A disciple have a free choice to decide, you know, not only which race at certain life which are needed, like in this one, where even the sixth ray is conditioning the physical body, which is the brain. Very, very, very unusual.
Yes, and unusual to see so clearly, too, the conflict between different aspects of the psyche,
yes,
you know.
Yes, yes. That's why, you know, I thought it would be interesting, you know, for people to see that what a clarity we have in this chart. And for myself, you know, when I see that the point or like of ascendant, which I didn't mention, it's coming exactly in conjunct to the natal Uranus there. You know, it's just amazing from the rectification point of the time of birth, which I have rectified from nothing, practically.
Yes.
You know,
and that is interesting that that's conjunct Dubai, the fixed star of personal will, that one.
Well, you see, for these purposes of webinars, it's already complicated enough for people to understand what I am saying than to include. That's why I am not commenting on the four asteroids, which even I have them in there, but I am not referring to them, and certainly not to the fixed stars. But yes, Dubhe is the lower aspect of the will, and the Merak the higher, you know, especially in relation to Aries, you see. So that would be, you know, the Polaris and all that, it would be, you know, interesting to look at. But, and Pluto, you know, and Vulcan in relation to the will.
So,
you know, so that is another aspect of this, but...
Eva has a comment. Go ahead, Eva.
Hi, Elena.
Hi, Eva. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for an excellent webinar. I loved it and I learned quite a bit. So my question is, we don't know if on that date when everything is so aligned, whether or not this person experienced a crisis, do we?
No, we don't.
Therefore,
I wish we had all this information. You know, it would be invaluable.
That's right. So what I'm asking is, can we assume then that each and every one of us has this kind of setup every now and then in our lives where everything comes together and aligns? And if that is the case, would that be a point of crisis for us? And do we then either learn and step forward or don't learn and stay where we're at?
Well, this is the point, you see, a very good point, because Saturn is the planet related to crisis and to the spiritual opportunity, you know, to really learn through that crisis and move further. Mm-hmm. But you see, that's why I said she already went in the past lives through these processes, and you know they are not finished. You see, Saturn in Pisces is the end of cycle, and Aries Sun with that Chiron is the beginning of a new cycle. So this was the opportunity for her to finish unfinished business and start to move forward, but it did not happen that way, you see. Even under the guidance of a master, even then she made a great progress in a number of areas, and he was encouraging her, but her biggest problem was detachment. You know, so we all have to learn.
So what follows next in my mind is, did she really know what her attachments were and where she needed to let go?
Oh, and yes.
So she
oh,
did.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes. He made it to her absolutely clear. He was, you know, DK is very direct when he knows, you know, that he has to be. And he was reminding repeatedly to her. It's interesting also, you know, her chart carries a lot of similar energies to FCD, such as Asacholi, and they were in a completely different stages of the path, but they were both learning freedom from ties. He was born in Pisces and can have Cancer rising and powerful Scorpio, you see. So but they were learning also different things.
Yeah, the freedom.
Sorry,
I was going to say I really relate with that, as we know, I have very similar, you know, similar situations.
Yes.
As both FSD.
And you have a Cancer rising.
And Pisces on the midheaven. So, I mean, I have a lot of similarities.
And Moon in Capricorn.
Yeah. Anyway, and to Asagioli, you know, and freedom from ties was his thing, as it is for me also. But what is really in my mind over and over again is, when we have this kind of setup, this kind of alignment, and I'm assuming, maybe it's wrong to assume that it happens to each and every one of us, because there's always a soul's purpose that, and it gives us the opportunity. Do we as disciples actually know what it is that we need to work on? I mean, am I guessing to think that yes?
Well, if you ask yourself, do you know upon which you should be working?
I personally do, because I've been, you know, thinking about this over and over again. But do we as disciples in general? No.
No. The answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because to be consciously aware, first of all, we need to know where we are upon the path, in the level of consciousness. What is our next step ahead, upon which, you know, all this later on, where I would be talking how all this is related to our glamours, okay, and to our weaknesses, and also to the strengths which we need to build through this process, you know. So I would say it is exceptionally when we are actually consciously working, generally speaking, okay, generally speaking.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay, we've had a couple of comments that people gave, mostly along the line of how fascinating this is. A really nice one from Maria about the work that you've put into explaining this process of sannyasin through DK and the astrological energies. Let me see. I don't see any more hands. And I will give you the log of all the comments that people have made throughout the,
thank you, thank
the
you.
Webinar, so you can look at them.
You know, I am pleased that people are learning something through this, and it will inspire them, you know, to actually do something along the line to look at this, because, you know, it will help them in their own processes. And so.
Okay, we have another hand. Hold on a second here. Go ahead, Alex.
Hello, Elena. Can you hear me?
Yes. Hello, Alex.
Hello. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I wanted you to know that somebody like me who knows so little about astrology, I'm finding this really interesting, even so. because I feel an affinity for CPD, mm-hmm. you know, and mm-hmm. what she's going through. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted you to know I'm very grateful, because I still get a lot out of it.
Well, nice to see you here.
Yeah.
Nice to see you.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Alex, I'd like to say, as someone who knows a lot about astrology, I'm learning so much just from listening to Elena. Okay, here we've got another one. Go ahead, Sheldon.
Well, Elena, it's so good to hear your patient detailed way of explaining. No, really, because, you know, not being an astrologer, this is not foreign language to me, but what you do so well, for me anyway, is take these concepts and then and relate them to this chart. So I'm learning a lot myself, kind of at this midpoint. I've never been an astrologer, I don't think, but this midpoint of using astrology to see how some of these dynamics work out. So your illustrations really are helpful. Yeah, so thank you very much.
Oh, thank you, Sheldon. Good to see you here.
Indeed.
Okay. Couple more comments about brilliant and very helpful, and thank you. But I don't see any more hands, and like I said, I'll send you all those comments.
That's
I'll
okay.
Send you the log. So
I appreciate for the presence of the people, and as I say, I find it, you know, very encouraging for myself that people can learn something from it, because that is the purpose of it, really, that introduce some new ideas and that people can take them and develop them further.
Eleanor, it's Kay here.
Yes.
I have a compilation on the Sannyasin, if anybody would like it. It has about 27 hits from the Alice Bailey books.
Good, good.
So yes, it might be quite helpful to read more about what DK talks about with these various disciples on that particular subject.
Yes.
With the advice, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We can, you know, if you send it to me, Kay, I'll make sure that Brett gets it, and he can actually post it to Makara with the recording of this webinar.
Good idea. Thanks, BL.
Okay, I think we're ready to end the webinar then.
Yes, we can.
All right, so I will go ahead and do that then. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody, and thank you again.
Let me unmute everybody quickly as right before I do, so everybody can say a quick goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you again, Eleanor, for the good job.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you, Eleanor.
Thank you, Eleanor.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye, everybody. I'm ending the webinar.
Bye.